searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your all.
It's time for us to go to school, so let us open this morning in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you for being the God who sees. You see all that's going on in our world. You know everything before it even happens, but more importantly, Lord, you see us. So right now we're just taking this time to come before your throne and to come into your presence together to learn about you, to know about you. And more importantly, to understand that you are in control no matter what happens around us. And be grateful that we have a King in Jesus. We praise you and thank you in his name this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. Good morning, good people.
Good morning.
For some of us are rousing ourselves from our rain-soaked sleep, and others are prayerfully restored back to power. And others are listening who have a lot of extreme heat. We got a lot of extremes going on, but in the middle, we're just grateful to be together. We're jumping right in this morning, continuing in our lessons, not knowing just what we believe, but why we believe it. Actually being able to give an answer to the hope that's in us, why we put our hope in Christ Jesus, and more importantly, our Father in heaven. I'm going to start out this morning with a little small lesson. If I started out by saying, once upon a time, there was a king with great power who created a world for his creation to flourish, what kind of story would you think I was telling?
Well, can you say it again? Because I missed part of it.
Okay. Listen to the beginning of how I start this story. Once upon a time, there was a king. What type of story would you think I was telling?
A fairy.
Go ahead. Say it. You're correct.
A fairy tale?
A fairy tale. Mm-hmm. A fairy tale. Because I started with Once Upon a Time. We know that's familiar. Well, would you be surprised to know that fairy tales actually were the way that people translated Bible stories to their children?
No, I didn't know that.
So fairy tales actually were the way people told stories about God and Jesus to their children. Now, we've got different iterations throughout the centuries, but when they initially were started, that's what they were for. So when people think that we believe in a fairy tale, because we do believe that there was a king who had great power, who created a world where his creation could flourish. Do we believe that?
Yes.
So, but we don't believe in fairy tales. We believe in the truth, right?
Yeah.
And the truth about God, correct?
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to get you started this morning and also drop a little knowledge on you. That's what fairy tales originally were for. So a lot of times when people think we say we believe in God and the stories that we believe about Jesus, and they're like, y'all fairy tales, it's not real. And actual fairy tales are grounded very much in truth. But our story is not, God's story is not a fairy tale for us. It is the truth. So that's another reason why we need to not just know what we believe, but why we believe it. We are continuing in our study. Somebody read on the paper the key verse of why we believe Jesus is King.
The seventh angel sounded his trumpet.
That's the wrong lesson. Nope.
Okay.
Say, God is in control. Jesus is King.
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
I like that unison got there. Yes. Found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The Son. Who's the Son?
Jesus.
Okay. What were humans called? What's the Latin word for humans in creation?
Uh-oh.
Somebody might know it. I'll give you a hint. It's in the verse. The Son is the what?
Image.
The Latin word is imago Dei. Imago Dei means image bearer. Mm-hmm. All right. All humanity is our image bearers. Am I correct?
Yes.
We're supposed to be.
Yes, we are. It is not. We are. All humanity. Everybody was created from the first humans created were created in the image of God.
Okay.
Including the Son.
Okay.
Now, don't get it twisted. Jesus is 100% God. But when Jesus took on human flesh, he became the perfect image bearer of God.
Mm.
So he is not only 100% God, he is 100% human.
Okay.
So why am I bringing that up? Because we have been overall talking about kingdom. What is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven?
Well, the kingdom of God
is the rule and reign of God the way he intended it.
Authority over all.
Okay. The rule and reign of God is intended from the beginning, correct?
Yeah.
We'll work on getting that definition into everybody. All right. So now, when God created all humanity, we know he started out with a F word. Brothers, sisters, parents,
family,
children,
family.
God started out with family. So if you are king and you have children, are they heirs and rulers with you?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. God wanted a family. God wanted people to rule with him and reign with him. And on your paper, you have that I gave you a snippet of what the purpose of this humanity was and the purpose
right.
to be. But I want us to look at in that the second part, the second paragraph of that under number two, that whole double paragraph there, starts with regardless. Is
that
everybody here?
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to go and skip to the last sentence of that paragraph. Consequently, as image bearers, we are to represent God and reflect his glory, power, and authority over creation. In doing so, we reflect the image of God. I'm bringing this up again because God created a family, and his family was to reflect his image into the world, reflect his glory, power, and authority over all creation. Remember, humanity was given a charge. What were they supposed to do?
Reign and rule over.
The
flourish and dominion over.
Oh, one thing.
Reign
yes.
over. Supply to flourish.
Yes.
All.
Yes. All of that, what you all said. I'm doing this because I want us to get fluent, if you would, in understanding. Put these pieces together so stuff doesn't seem so just, well, this is just over here, and this is that. This doesn't have anything. No, this is the story. The Bible is a bunch of books that are telling a story. And it's not our story. It's his story. It's the story of God and his kingdom. But in the midst of it, we have this whole thing why God created humanity with a purpose, and because of the fall, humanity is not fulfilling its purpose. So last classes, a couple weeks ago, last lesson we went through about how God created a family, and then the families grew and became what? Multiple?
Nations.
Okay, and the nations were those groups of people. They had common language, common beliefs, common cultures, and then they also were, some of them were family and related to each other. Some of them were mixed multitudes. Everybody's ultimately related because we all come from the same folks, but they became mixed groups, and they still had common things in common. And they respected boundaries. They respected one another. Yeah, there was violence and things going on. But then we got this crazy thing called empires. What was wrong with empires?
They were oppressive.
Okay.
Violent.
What else? Violent. What else?
It was not the will of God.
No, it was not. Remember, they wanted to conform everybody to their empire, their subjugation and that oppression. When you're supposed to subdue does not mean to oppress. Subdue means, and we'll look at it a little bit later when we get to chaos, subdue is about ordering. Some of you subdue your house. You hopefully, if you had children or you remember when your children were younger, you would tell them to go in their room and do what?
Clean it up.
Clean it. To subdue their room because there was chaos going on in there, correct?
Yes.
Because, oh, here we go. Loretta, you ready? Because you wanted your children to do what?
Flourish.
Would you read the definition of flourish for us, please?
Okay. Hold on. I got it. A person, an animal, or other living organisms grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment.
All right. So that's why you told your kids to clean your rooms. And now you can tell your grandkids and the younger you still got kids, you cannot flourish because that environment is not favorable.
Right.
Why can't you sleep at night? Clean up your room.
Right.
You know,
why are you having nightmares? Clean up.
Yeah. See? Why can't you find your homework? Be- because your environment is not favorable.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
It goes a lot of ways.
They do say a disciplined life starts with making your bed in the morning.
Get up
out of it.
And the key is, because what one man said, when you make your bed in the morning, you've accomplished at least one thing that day.
Amen.
Anyway. So, good. We got understanding. That's what I'm looking for. So, God intended for humanity to flourish, but because of the fall, we became violent, oppressive. We're not letting creation doesn't subdue. I was reading a story this morning about the Arctic ice, that it is 2 kilometers smaller than it's supposed to be at this time of year. So, you know, so we know the Southern Ocean, we having issues at the North Pole. Now we got issues at the South Pole. So things are not flourishing, and we wonder why the temperature is so high in certain places, because the planet is supposed to work together. Anyway, enter Jesus. What empire was Jesus born into?
Roman.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes, it is. And so we know. And the Roman Empire is by far one of the worst in a lot of ways, especially when it came to violence. Because what did they perfect the art of?
Hanging, impaling people.
Crucifixion,
which is the hanging and impaling of people. That's what it came from. Yes. So crucifixion. So they've become an empire in and of itself. This is the world Jesus came into, but God's intention was kingdom, God reigning and ruling.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus appeared on the earth and he started his ministry, we read in Mark, what was the words that he said about kingdom?
The kingdom of God has come. Repent.
Yes. Repent.
And believe.
The kingdom of God is at hand, it has come, is near. All that means is my phone is near me. It's right here. It's right here. It's really to be reached out and touched. And that repent means to turn back to it, to turn back to what God intended from the beginning. All right, so we're looking at the miracles, and we're looking at 4 types of miracles. We're not in a comprehensive study of miracles. We're just looking at these types of miracles that Jesus did in the Gospels. And last week we looked at sickness and disease, because are sickness and disease flourishing?
No, the opposite.
Exactly. Some of us experiencing it right now. You don't feel good. You can't do what you want it to do. And in Jesus' culture, sickness and disease, a lot of people, because there's a lot of superstition, because the law had been so poorly interpreted, it became to the point where people were literally put out of society because of a sickness or a disease, or they were deemed to have committed some horrible act or sin that caused the disease. All right, so now this week, we're going to look at another thing that entered the world with our fall, demonic possession and oppression. So somebody pick up. We're going to Matthew chapter 9, and somebody read verses 32 through 34 of Matthew chapter 9.
Okay, well. You say verses what through what?
32 through 34.
Okay, thank you. When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, he can't cast out demons because he's empowered by the prince of demons. Amen?
All right. And I want you all to write that word on your paper off to the side, prince, because we're going to see that word again, to that title. So what was wrong with this man?
He was demon-possessed.
Right.
He couldn't speak.
He couldn't speak, and it's obviously that it is connected to his demonic oppression.
Mm-hmm.
What did Jesus do?
Cast out the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And
the man was able to do what?
Speak.
So is he flourishing now?
Yes.
Yes, he should be.
All right. But you notice the crowd's reaction. The crowd says, nothing like this has ever happened in Israel. Why is that?
Nobody was able to do what they did.
But also, because everybody, remember, everybody's created in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
And given the same mandate to subdue. But how come nobody else could do what Jesus did?
Because we're still not God.
But remember, according to Philippians 2, Jesus is not acting like God in this capacity. He is acting as a 100%
human
being.
Okay.
That's good. I'm glad you brought that up, though, because that's something that we have to, that's going to help us going forward. If you don't want people to do what they're capable
mm-hmm.
of doing, you either confuse it or you don't tell them. In other words,
mm-hmm.
if you don't want, your identity is everything. If you mess with people's identity, if people don't know who they are, they don't know what they're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes
okay.
Jesus. He knows who he is. He is created in human body in the image of God. He knows what capacity, and he is fully surrendered and submitted to the will of God. And because
mm-hmm.
of that, he was able to do what nobody else was able to do.
Okay.
All right.
Now, as we go forward, we'll find out, guess what? He says something later on. He says to his disciples, greater works than these will you do because I'm going back to the Father.
Okay.
We're getting there. That's down the road. Because we need to understand who Jesus is and what he was able to do as a human being to understand what we are when our identity is restored to us through Jesus. Keep going, teacher, because you're going somewhere. All right, Mark chapter 5. Somebody read verses 1 through 20. This is one of those good stories that if you were listening when we went through the book of Mark, we really went somewhere with this story. Mark 5, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20.
So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as often was he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day
mm-hmm.
and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and was surrounding in the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what happened. As the crowd soon gathered around Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowds began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the towns of that region, and he began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Wow. Now we could do a whole class on this story, but we won't. What was this man's issue?
He was demon possessed by several demons.
And we're talking at least 1,000.
Yes.
Because it says legion, and that's the term, a military term that is referencing a number of troops So this man was all the way crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how he was living. Look at where he was at.
Yeah.
And one thing you take notice of in verse 7, what did legion say?
Oh, I beg you, don't torture me.
What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?
It identified there the
why are you interfering with me?
The legion in Jesus, the legion in the man, identified Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Recognized, because spirit recognizes spirit. And they know the spirit of God, he's the son of the, they know Jesus. They identified him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said about identity? When you know who you are. And they acknowledge, we know who you are, and we know you know who you are,
mm-hmm.
and we know you have the power to do away with us. But let's get back to the significance of the miracle. This is a legion of a spiritual realm. This is a lot of demonic activity in this man. And Jesus was able to cast it out. As a matter of fact, I like how the scripture explained it, why he was Jesus was casting out the spirit. Spirit's communicating with him. He's being cast out.
Mm-hmm.
So representing this power that he has. Remember our definition? What I read in the earlier page of the image bearer are to represent
mm-hmm.
God and reflect His glory, His power, and His authority over all creation. Because the spirit realm was created as well.
Okay.
The enemy has done a good job convincing us, A, either he doesn't exist, they don't exist, or B, that they're of equal power to God.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody yesterday talk about how people think that Satan is ruling over hell. He's not.
Okay.
Because he has no power.
Yeah.
Talk about that in a couple when we get to the verse in John. Somebody got something to say real quick?
I wanted to ask a question. So if you're just living your life full of spiritual wickedness
mm-hmm.
and you're headed for hell, regardless to the torment and the torture that you're giving, that's not God's will. It's still God's will regardless that each soul be saved. Each person belongs to him. And is that why we're given the same time? You'll see people that do wrong live just as long as people that do right. So is that why that happens? Because sometimes you can look at somebody and say, like, I don't even know why you get the opportunity to live with your mind set. You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, like the young man that strangled the little baby with a telephone cord. You know, you look at him and you think, well, why does somebody like you get to live when there's people out here struggling to have babies? You know, I do myself. But I'm, you know, and it makes me wonder sometimes. They say God doesn't make no mistake. So it makes me wonder why we have the set. I know in my heart, because I am a Christian, I know that God gives us all the same opportunity. You know, just like the Dahmer guy who did all this, and at the last minute he gave himself to God. But he went through less than a person who gave himself to God for their lifetime. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, because it's not a day that I don't watch the news that I say, how come this man is still living?
Right.
So, I have to remind myself of what you said. It is God's desire that none should perish. We're all his image bearers. We were all created with a purpose. And unfortunately, because of the fall, those that don't know are under the control. They're not under the control of God's kingdom willingly.
Okay.
They're experiencing, as Tony Evans called, the passive rule of God.
Okay.
In other words, instead of us, those who truly believe, actively submitting ourselves to the will of God. So they do these heinous things. But this also gives us a picture of how great the love of God is, that he allows someone more time, even when they've done the most heinous things. I mean, it's sometimes hard to reconcile the fact that God – would have accepted Adolf Hitler.
If he came in.
It's hard to reconcile that, but that shows that we have to understand the beauty of grace, the immense mercy that God bestowed on all humanity. How much is John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. He so loved the cosmos, the creation, all of his creation, that he gave his son, that whoever would believe in his son would not perish, but have everlasting life. So the prayer is always like, Lord, I pray they get, even though this was horrible, Jesus' blood is still able to wash it.
Okay.
And even like what you said, with Dahmer and all the things that he did, he repented, according to the man who talked to him and who was ministering to him and discipling him. So it's just hard to grasp that amount of love, because we just don't practice it every day because we're still in the flesh. But I'm glad you brought that point up. Here, this man, this man was controlling his whole region with his behavior. Nobody was happy because they could hear him crying day and night. So you could just imagine if somebody was walking up and down your street screaming day and night. It would just – some of us have been in situations with people who were just disturbed to the point that there was no peace.
Yeah.
And beautiful. Good conversation. All right, so we got this man with this unclean spirit, but we have Jesus who was able to cast out legion. Legion. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to do this. And restored the man. Go home, tell your family what the Lord has done for you. And some of you remember in our previous classes, he did this in the Decapolis, which was a Gentile region. Some scholars will argue and say it wasn't, but it's right here in the text. The Decapolis was a Gentile region. So we're going to talk about a little bit more about the magnitude of that when we get to Lack. All right. John chapter 12, verse 31. Somebody read that verse, and we're going to talk about that word prince.
The time for judging this world has come when Satan, The ruler of this world will be cast out.
Okay. Now, in your text, it has Satan. And who has a New International Version?
Ooh, I don't.
I can change it. I'm on the computer.
Okay.
NIV. All right. Now is the time for judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out.
All right. Now remember I told you to write that word prince down because
yes.
We saw it somewhere else, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Do it real quick.
I thought it was back in. Was it Mark 5?
Back in Matthew 9. Back in Matthew 9, right?
Oh, Matthew, okay.
Remember the Pharisees, Matthew 9 and verse 34. But the Pharisees said to him, remember Jesus cast out the demon of the man who couldn't speak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He said, and the people were amazed because they hadn't seen anything like this. And he said, but the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. Now, we know later on Jesus is going to engage them about that situation. But that word prince, you know, prince, princess, queen, king, these are all titles of
mm-hmm.
what?
Royalty. They're usually
royalty.
Children of the king. Or
okay.
some relationship.
Usually some relationship to the king. Right. And children usually, or relatives of
mm-hmm.
the sovereign. Because remember, we all come from one, what?
Family,
we do. But the spirit realm, there seems to be some kind of order there. But what do we know when it comes to a king and a prince? Who has more authority?
The king.
The king. And what did Jesus say here in John 12:31?
For us, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. That's what it says in the NLT.
And so Jesus is saying that in the NIV it says a prince, the prince of this world. The Pharisees
right.
even refer to the head of the demonic host as a prince.
Mm.
Right, they did.
Somebody's getting it. All right. So what is Jesus saying when it comes to the demonic realm?
That they are obviously family to the king.
In some way? Yeah. Okay, now you're going. Well, I know you're going. We're not going to go there because the whole class would be tore up.
Thank you.
But I know where she's going, and that's a good thing. They're right. They're part of this family differently. But in the spirit realm,
okay.
he's saying they are subject. Somebody's over them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. He's saying that somebody's over them, and he's saying now the prince of this world will be driven out.
Okay.
Something Jesus has the power to drive out. The ruler because
he's the king.
He's the king. He's superior.
Yeah.
So with demonic oppression where it has rendered people oppressed, mute and has them out of there not acting like Imago Dei, not fulfilling, not flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I not only have the power to change their state and restore them to flourishing, but I have the
mm-hmm.
power to drive out what is preventing them from flourishing.
Okay.
The dark powers.
Mm-hmm. And that
I have the
is
power
subdued.
That yes. Now, if he's saying it about himself, with man's intentioned, according to God, to do what with mm-hmm. creation?
To flourish. Oh, subdue.
To subdue.
Mm-hmm.
So here Jesus is, I mean, remember, he emptied himself, said in Philippians 2. It said he put his divine privileges to the side to become mm-hmm. human, to live imago Dei, the image of God, to be a perfect image bearer of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that he's showing us that a perfect image bearer of God has the power to drive out, to act like the perfect image of God. I'm emphasizing this because when we get to the crucifixion and the resurrection, we're going to find out we have a lot more power than we know. And this is just my biggest pet peeve, and it's the number one issue in the church, biblical illiteracy. We don't know the word.
Yep.
And I've said it before, you only know God as much as you know God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so people run around and they say, I got the power to do this and I got the power to do that. Yeah. But based on what?
Based on what?
They can say it. They know what, but they don't know
mm-hmm.
why they have the power to do what they do. So a lot of times when it doesn't work, it's because the demonic realm knows whether or not you have the power to do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize Jesus.
Jesus.
So they would recognize, they recognize, the demonic realm recognizes whether you know what you have or what you don't have.
Yep.
By the way you walk, the way you live, the way you talk. So this is important. We can't go around just like, don't go around willy-nilly casting out saying, I got the power just because you heard somebody say it and I believe it, they said it. Know why you have the power. Image bearer. God has commissioned us from the beginning. And here we are restored anyway. Don't go there. Okay, let me stay here. I'm trying to get weeks ahead, mm-hmm. and I got to go through the process. But we're building a case, if you would. We're learning not what, but not just what, but why. And so we
mm-hmm.
know that Jesus exemplified that he had the power to do what he was doing. All right?
Mm.
Let's go on to the next one. Any questions real quick before I move on? Okay. Let's talk about empire brought something. We noticed that from Egypt back when Joseph, remember during the famine, where there was, the famine was a lack of what?
Food.
And what did the people do to get food?
They sold everything they had, including themselves.
Yeah. And somebody else said something, too, about they enslaved themselves to who?
To Pharaoh, the king.
To Pharaoh, yep, to the king. They enslaved themselves because they had a lack. Go to Matthew chapter 17, and somebody read verses 24 through 27, and let's see how Jesus deals with lack.
24 through
27.
After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "For whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours."
That's something when you slow down and you actually read a text instead of just kind of reading through a whole bunch, and you look at this. This Jesus said a whole lot here in these few verses. There's a temple tax to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And they question Jesus and Peter whether or not, because they're always questioning, so especially the leaders, the religious leaders, it's always about why does he let you all pick wheat on pick grain on the Sabbath? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? We don't do that. So why is he paying his tax? Do y'all pay temple tax? Because we pay temple tax. It was always something like they wanted the religion, but they didn't want the relationship. Because look what Jesus refers to right there in verse 25 and 26. What does he say?
Whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?
From others.
So and then he says, who do they collect the taxes from?
Others.
Now you know who's running the country. Who pays the most taxes?
Oh my goodness. We do.
Not the folks at the top. That's for sure.
Not
the
people
folks actually running things.
Right. Right. You find out, you pay pennies? Oh, wow.
Right. Right.
Okay.
My tax bill was the same as Donald Trump's in 2020. Make it make sense. Anyway. But you see, Jesus points out religious folks are going to the religion. You got to pay temple tax. But Jesus goes to the relationship, kingdom, as God intended. The king's kids don't pay taxes.
Wow.
Because they're exempt from it because they're the king's kids. And notice this is a temple tax.
Yeah. Yeah.
We charging the cover to go to church now.
Wow.
So he's pointing out the people who are being forced to pay don't have it to pay. They shouldn't have to pay because they're all the king's kids. But so we don't offend, so we don't cause a problem that we don't need to have, go ahead and pay the taxes. What are we getting to here? When it comes to lack, how did Jesus fix the situation? Because they obviously didn't have it.
He fulfilled it. He paid the debt.
Wait, what did you say the question was, please, again?
How did Jesus take care of the situation? They didn't have it, obviously.
Well, you're talking about the part when he had to go catch the fish, or is it something different than that?
Okay, this right there is what's in the text. He told him to do what?
Go catch the fish.
The first fish you catch is going to be a thing in there, and then get it and come back and we can pay the tax.
So Jesus, there was a lack, right?
There was a lack.
We don't have a temple tax. It's going to cause a problem. Yeah. So go take care of it. And he said the first fish you catch in it.
And he paying tax on his own temple. It's supposed to be his temple.
Now, see, that was a question I wanted to ask. Like, the temple tax. Yeah, why would he have to pay it? But I guess y'all getting ready to answer this, I guess.
Yeah, because he's fully man.
He's a man, right.
Good call. Didn't think of that aspect. Okay.
Remember when he overturns the table with the collect tax?
Yes.
Okay, what did he say? This is supposed to be a house of what?
Prayer.
prayer,
and it's
right.
not just
yeah.
a house of prayer, it's a house of prayer for all the nations, for people mm-hmm. to come. The temple was always supposed to be the place for people to come. Little temple fact, when the temple was built and the way it was erected and the windows were put in it, the windows were not put in it to bring light in like we do at our houses. When mm-hmm. we build our houses, mm-hmm. we put windows in so that the light comes in from outside. The temple was designed, the windows of the temple were designed so that the light from the candlesticks would reflect out. So people could always look and see where the temple was no matter what. It was a picture. It was like the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day. It was always representative mm-hmm. of God's presence was there.
Wow.
So this temple was for everybody, for all of God's people. Oh, anybody who wanted to worship the true living God could come to this place. And they were charging taxes to get in.
Wow.
Let's even go
like now.
Let's even go further. Think back. Where was the temple supposed to get its money from to begin with? Or the Levites? And the priesthood, where were they supposed to get it?
From the tithe, from the people.
From the tithe. The offerings for the people. That's where they made their living from. But now we're charging a tax.
And the tithe.
Religion. And the tithe. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still required. And proper sacrifices. And since your land
right.
is not
yeah.
quite up to par, we need you to upgrade. For a small fee. But you see, Jesus, he's starting to show overcoming lack. Let's get it another in.
Mm-hmm.
I got this class today, the one that's animated. I love it. Mark chapter, y'all always animated, though. I can't give y'all that. Make this my joy. Let's go quickly to Mark chapter 8, and somebody read verses 1 through 10, and let's talk about how Jesus deals with lack yet again.
Mm-hmm.
About this time, another large crowd had gathered, and the people ran out of food again. Jesus called his disciples and told them, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint along the way. For some of them have come a long distance." His disciples replied, "How are we supposed to find enough food to feed them out here in the wilderness?" Jesus asked, "How much bread do you have?" "7 loaves," they replied. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to his disciples, who distributed the bread to the crowd. A few small fish were found, too, so Jesus also blessed these and told the disciples to distribute them. They ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd that day, and Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. Immediately after this, he got into a boat with his disciples and crossed over to the region of Dalmanutha. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sis. Okay, where's the problem? Where's the lack at?
Not enough food.
Not enough food. Especially for how many people?
Right. For 4,000?
Over 4,000.
4,000.
Because it says how many men. They only counted the men, and there were what?
4,000 men alone.
4,000
men. So you know there were some women and children amongst that crew.
A lot.
So this is over 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
10 loaves enough for 4,000 people?
Not at all.
No.
Little Peter rounds, because basically that's what it was. That should be enough, right? We're not even talking about full loaves of bread.
All right.
So there was lack. It wasn't enough because we see empire brings lack. There's not enough.
Yeah.
There should be enough.
Because only one group of people want it all.
That's what happens when one group of people thinks that they deserve to have more.
Deserve, right.
Than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
It creates lack, scarcity.
Scarcity.
Amongst the
but
larger
what they
group
got
of people.
Came from everybody else.
Mm-hmm. See how empire is so antithetical to kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Because in kingdom, God intends for everybody to do what class?
Flourish.
Flourish. Yes. Everybody's supposed to flourish. Because you need to have a favorable environment. You need to be active and successful. Jesus was worried. If these people don't, he wasn't worried, but his concern was if they don't have anything to eat and they try to walk out of here and go home, people are going to drop on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get harmed by sitting here listening to me. I'm not having that. I want them to not only have their needs met, but have their needs met at a high level because how much was left over.
Mm-hmm. Seven baskets full.
Seven baskets full. Not just we had seven baskets and there was a few fish and a few loaves of bread. No, seven baskets full.
That was compassion.
Begging. So Jesus not only met their needs, he met their needs at a high level.
Mm.
He didn't just say, he could have just gave them bread.
And they ate as much as they wanted.
They were full. They weren't just given a bowl of rice. Or some insure.
Oh no!
Man, as much as they could sit. They didn't have to worry about hey. We've experienced this with some repasses. I'm gonna go churchy for a minute. Where you only get two chicken wings because we got to make sure it's enough for everybody.
The tiny chicken wings.
And it's always the puniest.
One meatball.
Yeah, exactly. There wasn't that concern.
Why do people want to keep just stacking up plates and taking them home?
Right. Because you have seen this.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be serving people because hospitality is everything in this community, in this part of the world. There's no way you're coming to sit and listen to Jesus and he's not going to feed you and feed you well. Remember the water? Remember John, the wine, the wedding?
Yeah.
They had good wine in the beginning, and by the end of the week, we got the cheap stuff because everybody drunk. Everybody been drinking for 7 days. But what kind of wine did Jesus provide?
The best wine, because Jesus intended
for his people to do what?
Flourish.
And that's our mic drop. We're done for the day. We'll pick up next week with how Jesus chose kingdom is way better than is greater than empire. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your teaching of us. We thank you for the humor and all that we can bring and see in real time how you're still who you say you are. You are king, you are Lord, and you are in control. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good class.
Amen. It was a good class in Jesus' name. It was a good class. And thank you, Sister Janice, for the lesson and your loyalty to teach God's word. You really broke it down. It's a good lesson. We can't wait to hear more. As always, we appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
Alrighty.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, everybody. Hey, depress that one if you're not participating in the next part of the service, okay? And the ones that are, you know, to stay on. And then get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, and your crumpets. And after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen?
Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you, you, yes. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord, say. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing.
Thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyde, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministry, the Church of Teaching, Learning, and Doing.
We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation scripture of prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the Word of God tells us that in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And it's the fifth Saturday of the July, the last Saturday of the month. And on the fourth and the fifth Saturday of each month, we invite our youth to participate in our morning worship service. So this is Saturday. And so we have this morning to do our proclamation scripture and prayer is our very own hometown hero, young adult, Darius Freeman. Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
I can go ahead.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
Okay. Good morning, boss. All listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Darius Freeman. I'll be opening up this Saturday worship and praise. I'll be reading the proclamation. It is titled, Why We Are Here, Proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, to die for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is in the throne at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge who rules. Today's scripture will be coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I repeat, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It is titled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I will tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon and all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add the blessings to the reader, hearers, and doers of his great mighty words. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lives Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick, and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher for with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty name, mighty and wonderful name, that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Darius Freeman. You know, we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Okay, you too.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Do you mind if I testify and tell you of the goodness of my Lord? Share some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own. But there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus. I know this, 'cause he died for me and he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. His name is Jesus, yet he loves me. And I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no greater love in the world. There's so many things I want to tell you of how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand. All of the pain, all of the shame, I realize there is nothing that could take your place. Oh, if you look into my eyes, you will see life has truly tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing. Oh, Jesus. I know.
think about all of the things that we do to try to please ourselves in this life, and we try to seek love here, there, and everywhere else, and all we end up with is things that are not agape love. But there is no other love like the love of Jesus. You can tell when you fall in love with Jesus. You know how you can tell? You fall less in love with the world. You become more attracted to him than the things that you used to chase after. Amen? He becomes the new obsession. He becomes the new chase. And that's when you begin to recognize the goodness of God. And if our young people need to know anything today, it's that God is good. And we need to demonstrate to them that God is not just good when we are preaching the gospel and everybody is receiving it, but God is good when we preach the gospel and get beat and thrown in a Philippian jail. They need to know that God is good. They need to see us living like God is good and like God is good all the time. No, we don't like bad times. But in the bad times, guess what? We expect to see the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, the goodness of God. Your
the Lord loves it when we believe. And believing means no matter what we see going on, and it's a lot going on in our world today, and we're not acting like it's not going on. But the Lord God has us, his children, who have become his children through faith in Jesus Christ, through in his death, burial, and resurrection. We believe that. And for that reason, God made us his children. We are the family of God that Pastor Janice Tate has been teaching us in this Sunday school class. We belong to him. A lot is going on in our world today. The weather's out of control. Folks are out of control. Kids are killing kids. They're stabbing them and leaving them dead in the street. And we as Christians can become discouraged. But we need to know, as Pastor Tate is teaching us in the class, right? God is in control. And Jesus is king. The devil is the prince, the power of the air, but Jesus is king. And guess who we are? The king's little brothers and sisters. And so no matter how tough, no matter how rough it gets in the world today, remember, we live in the land of Goshen. Whatever is happening in Egypt is what the Lord is bringing down on Egypt, but we live in the land of Goshen. And we should say with all our heart when trouble comes, I won't stop believing.
I won't.
God's word carried him. And even when it hurted him the most, he still had faith in his God to lift his voice and declare.
Amen. Jehovah Jireh, he will provide. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. You always take us there. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see. And my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you watch God provide.
Oh, God provides. He's come to our rescue 1,000 times. I thank the Lord for another opportunity to serve. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, thank you for your patience and mercy and generosity. Thank you for your power. Thank you that you see us and hear us and answer us. Thank you for waking us up again. Thank you that you are interested in our petitions and requests, even though you have provided for our every need. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you continuously. We thank you for problems that make us stronger. Thank you for handfuls of purpose. We thank you for wise counselors, for family, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned, for good memories, for a way to go to church without going to church. We admit that we fall short daily, that we are all sinners that need more and more of your peace. We ask that you cause us to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do. We ask for complete healing in the body, mind, and spirit of everyone under the sound of my voice, and especially Darius Freeman. We thank you for the work you are already doing in getting him to the top of the list, and especially Nicole Seabrook. We thank you for the work you are already doing on restoring her health, and especially for my husband, Ed Johnson, who brought me to this church. We thank you for the work you are already doing on his health and for the progress he has made. We ask for total healing for Doris Gaither and all our mothers and all other members of Runner for Christ Ministries. We ask that you bless the preacher to give a message that speaks to and nourishes our inner men. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and another new understanding of you. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We say yes to your ways and your plan for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things and that you know us better than we know ourselves. So the best choice we can make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Okay?
You too.
Thank you. Okay, I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to first thank our youth for serving today. My hometown hero, Darius Freeman, and thank Sister Rebecca for standing in for the youth for our altar call. You know, it's summertime, and our youth are, you know, and our young adults are on vacation, and some are working now, and school will be in soon again. So our youth are always willing and ready to participate on our 4th and 5th Saturday Youth Day. And, you know, it's just a training ground for teaching about service and serving the Lord. And just about public speaking so that they won't be afraid to speak in front of others. Train up a child. So get your youth involved in serving the Lord, and they can, you know, do the scripture and prayer and the altar call. And the little youth that we have right now, they are little, 3, 4, and 5, and they're singing at church. And so they're going to be fulfilling these places very shortly doing serving the Lord. So train up a child and just get them involved, okay? All right, and then I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday morning worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiles today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our First Fruit Ministries Free Lunch and Prayer Street Outreach Minister. Street love, serving the community. From the Word of Faith Church, Sister Minister Lachelle Anderson. Okay? So let's prepare to receive Sister Minister Lachelle Anderson as she comes in her own way with the word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen. And we need Sister Anderson to go ahead and press one. There's a lot of people listening, and I need you to come all the way up to the top from where you are. So just press one, and that'll put you in the host queue. All right, let's get ready.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Get intimate, yo. Let's worship him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord. I commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand. And yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might. Glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right. Creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Holy, holy,
holy. earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Well, good morning, Runner for Christ and the blessed listening family. I am so honored to be with you this morning. This is Sister Shelley. Thank you, Pastor O and Runner for Christ family, for allowing me to give you your morning daily bread. You know, I was thinking this morning, you all are really blessed to have a pastor like Pastor O. A lot of people give themselves the title of a pastor, but they aren't being a pastor according to the word of God. But your pastor, he teaches the word, he preaches the word, and he lives the word. Amen. And his wife, Sheila, she is such a blessing to the kingdom of God with her giving anointing. That is her blessing right there. And I just want to say God blessings to you both. Well, family, I have a simple message the Lord has given me to share with you this morning. And I believe it'll be a great blessing to you all if you open up your hearts to receive. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift you up and give you all the praise, glory, and honor due your name. We welcome you into this service and ask the Holy Spirit to have free reign. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, and we all say, amen. Now, I want to share a quote with you, but I don't know who the author is, but I just felt it was so appropriate for today's message. Goes, God has a tendency of picking a nobody to be somebody in front of everybody without consulting anybody. I'm going to say it one more time. God has a tendency of picking a nobody to be somebody in front of everybody without consulting anybody. Glory to God. Isn't that a good quote? All right, I'm going to share a personal story. So I was a new employee to a department, and females was getting married, and my boss wanted us all to come together to have a meeting. Well, a lot of us were in different states, so she was going to fly us in, and we were going to have a meeting and a bridal party. Well, my female coworker was marrying another female, and after much prayer, the Lord showed me how to handle this. My team and I flew in for the meeting. And I went to my coworker, took her to the side and said, congratulations on your up-and-coming marriage. And I regrettably declined, but I have another meeting to attend at the same time as your bridal shower. And that was that. Within 6 months to a year, my boss transferred me out of the department. I didn't even know that you could do that. She didn't fire me, but she transferred me on out. You see, I no longer fit in and was no longer a valued employee, but God. Ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in a new family and will be faced with opportunities to stand up for God or stand up for the world's way of doing things. The title of today's message is Why You Don't Fit In. again, why you don't fit in. Romans 12 and 2 reads in the King James Version, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the will of God. Conformed is defined by the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary as made to resemble or reduced to a likeness. Transformed in that same dictionary is defined as change of external appearance. Good will of God, acceptable will of God, and perfect will of God are not separate but different ways of describing the will of God. Good is defined as valid or complete. Acceptable is agreeing or pleasing. And perfect means to finish or complete. So we can rephrase this scripture by saying, be not made to resemble this world, but be ye changed of external appearance by the renewing of your mind to prove the valid, pleasing, and complete will of God. Glory to his holy name. Now let's share a biblical example of someone who didn't fit in or conform to this world and proved the good, acceptable will, perfect will of God. I'm going to Hebrews 11 and 7. This is also in the King James Version. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah did not fit in, and nor should you. Now, let me give you some background about Noah. Glory to God, and it'll add more context to this message. Now, Noah and his family lived in a world that was so violent and so wicked that God decided he would not allow humanity to live any longer. And he singled out by God to preserve life on earth when all others proved undeserving. So Noah, who had faith in God and lived a righteous and blameless life, was chosen. And God revealed to Noah his plan to destroy not only the corrupt humanity, but the physical earth as well by a flood. So righteous was Noah that God made a covenant with him, a promise of safety for him and his family, and a place of preservation for two of every animal on the earth. In preparation for the floodwaters, he was to build an ark. And God gave Noah a 120-year project, telling him to build an ark of cypress wood inside and out. And God gave him precise instructions and dimensions. And Noah did everything just as God had commanded. And the task of gathering all the animals, God helped him in obtaining all of those as well. Noah was a little over 600 years old when God released the flood. And Noah made the ark his home, managing his family and overseeing the feeding and cleaning of the animals while the rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights on the entire earth. Glory to God. Now, when Noah saw an olive leaf as a sign that he and his family and the animals could soon leave the ark, so he sent out a dove. There was a little process, but he then received a sign that they could leave. And God told Noah and his family to leave the ark and liberate the animals. Noah, still being obedient and faithful to God, stepped out of the ark and built an altar, giving praise to God for his deliverance. And as a sign of his pledge, God put a rainbow in the sky and promised to remember his covenant every time the covenant or the colorful rainbow was to be seen. And to this day, whenever we see that rainbow, we are reminded of that covenant. Glory to God. Along with God's covenant and blessing, Noah and his sons also received God's command to be fruitful and multiply. And they became, their family became the new origin of all the people in the entire world. Glory to God. So we have it in us because we were from Noah. And of course, you all know we were descendants of Abraham. But in reference to not fitting in and conforming, we have it in us. Glory to God. So Noah did not fit in, and nor should you. Glory to God. Now let's summarize Noah's story, but I'm going to use Hebrews 11 and 7, which I read earlier. And I'm going to read it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So Noah, by faith, was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Have you ever been warned of something? Car, not to go out with that person. You need to start going back to church. Don't marry that person. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and his job is to show you things to come and guide and direct your path. That's the kind of God we serve. He's going to warn you of things not seen yet. Hallelujah. It says he was moved with fear, which means he took action afraid or reverencing God. When fear comes your way, you must be moved to do what God has told you, even though it may be uncomfortable, humiliating, or embarrassing, that no one else can see it yet. You have to be moved with fear to do your assignment. Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. Glory to God. Noah prepared an ark. For you and I, that could represent starting a business, returning to school, writing a book, starting a ministry. All of us have an ark. Something that God has shared just with us. Selah, pause and think on that. What is your ark? That his actions of preparing the ark saved his household. You, being moved with fear, walking in faith of what God tells you to do, can save your family. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he condemned the world. Noah didn't conform, but rejected the world's way of doing. The world says, smoke weed because it's legal. Drink a glass of wine daily helps your heart. Well, you can drink a glass of grape juice and help your heart as well. It has the same benefits. My doctor, when he found out that I was celibate, he said to me, well, you know, sex is healthy for you. And I said, yes, sex is healthy in a marriage union. And I paused and looked at him for a few seconds. And he put his head down and just shook his head and praised the Lord. I was not conforming. I was not going to fit into what they told me. And you can't as well. Lastly, Noah became the heir of righteousness, which we know righteousness means God's way of doing and God's way of being. And he did this by faith. And you can be the heir of righteousness as well by doing what God has told you to do that no one can see yet. Hallelujah. Noah didn't fit in. He didn't conform. And nor should you. All right. Let's walk a mile in Noah's shoes. Oh, man. God just dropped a song on my heart, and hopefully I can remember the words. Walk a mile in my, I got a shoes, you got a shoes, all God's children got a shoes. When we get to heaven, gonna put on our shoes, gonna walk all over God's heaven, heaven. Everybody's talking about heaven and going to heaven, heaven. Gonna walk all over God's heaven. Glory to God. I don't know if you know that song, and if I messed up the words, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know my heart had the right intent. Amen. So we're walking in Noah's shoes. He was given a 120-year project. You know what he did was uncomfortable, be humiliated at different times and ridiculed. His family was probably referred to as the crazy family. You see, there had never been a flood, so they, the people of this day, couldn't comprehend why or what he was making an ark for. And what about all those animals? Can you imagine these animals just showing up and staying right by the ark until it was time for them to go onto the ark? That had to be amazing. And a little crazy as well, praise the Lord. You know, I have Bible school graduates. When they see me, they don't say, how's the ministry going? They say, you still making those sandwiches? And it did get me. They can't see that I'm making a difference for the kingdom of God. They can't see what God warned me of yet. Can you work on a project that God gives you that makes you look crazy? Selah, pause and think on that. There is a reason why you should not fit in. This book called The Millionaire Next Door by Thomas Stanley. The premise is that the millionaire next door doesn't do anything the world's way. He owns a Honda or Toyota versus paying or leasing a car forever. He lives below his income. He doesn't waste his money on designer shoes, clothes, and jewelry, but shops at Costco and wears jeans from Walmart. You know that's my store. He doesn't give his children everything they want, but teaches them to become millionaires. He reads the Wall Street Journal and NASDAQ over his finances with a budget, which we know that's a faith act. You see, the millionaire made a decision. I want to be a millionaire, so I'm going to take the necessary steps to achieve it. Not conforming, but renewing his mind in the area of finances. Glory to God. So I've given you a biblical example of Noah and an everyday personal example, which is the millionaire next door, which could be you, of those who didn't conform, so you could see yourself in them. But the one characteristic they both possess, that each Christian possesses, is they are overcomers. They both walk by faith. They moved with fear, being afraid and in reverence of God, and made decisions that didn't conform to this world's way of being and doing. Why you should not fit in? Because you are an overcomer. The scripture reference for this is 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Say it with me. I am an overcomer. I overcome sickness and disease. I overcome depression and all mental illness. I overcome lack and debt. I overcome any addictions. I overcome suicidal thoughts. I overcome thoughts of insecurity. I overcome thoughts of having to fit in. I overcome everything Satan hits me with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When my ministry classmates would take stabs at me and my ministry, I choose to not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with continually doing good. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Some of you have spent your life trying to figure out why you don't fit in, why people don't immediately like you. You have horrible flashbacks as a kid of not being liked. You were not meant to fit in. But the Bible says we are to be overcomers. You don't fit in, conform, but stand out as an overcomer. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, runner for Christ, because I have overcome the world," which means you have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have overcome the world. You will have tribulation, but you have overcome the world. You don't have to conform. You don't have to fit in. Glory to God, because you are an overcomer. My last point is that you're not fitting in is to give God the glory so others will ask you, "Well, how'd you do that? How did you overcome that situation?" And you'll be able to tell them, "Well, the Bible says this, and I believed it." And that'll open the door for you to share Jesus. In conclusion, as I stated at the beginning, God has a tendency, can in nobody, to be somebody in front of everybody without consulting anybody. When he chooses you, you won't be able to fit in. But by faith, you'll be moved with fear to do it afraid and do it in reverence of God, to dream that impossible dream he gave you that no one else can see yet. The truth is, God chose you because he knew he could depend on you. He sees you in your private time praying, meditating on his word every day, helping others, calling on the sick and shut in. You're not focused on the carnal things of this world. He knew you wouldn't conform. That's why you should not fit in. You're the nobody God picked to be somebody in front of everybody without consulting anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, runner for Christ family, that ends this power message, and I hope it was a blessing to you. But we can't leave without offering an opportunity for those who are listening to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you have never received Jesus and you would like to for the first time, just repeat after me. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I'm so sorry. I want to receive your son Jesus as my Lord. Come into my heart now. I believe he died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I confess him as my Lord. I am saved. Hallelujah. I believe someone received Jesus today. And I believe if that was you, I will see you in heaven. I thank you all for this time. I love you, and I hope you all have a wonderful, blessed day in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm so confused. I know I heard. Wow. Oh, my heaven. I am rarely less speechless, as you all know, but I am completely speechless today. That message that Minister Shelley dropped on us was a word that everybody needs to hear. Not only was it absolutely relevant for our youth, because our poor kids, they only have social media as an example of how you should be and what type of life you should live. But they are not the example. Social media is not the example. That is you transforming or conforming to this world, not standing out, but you're mixing in with the crowd. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the only way that we can be transformed and not conformed is by allowing the word of God to work on us and work on our lives. We're living human beings, right? Excuse me. We see things and we're like, you know what? I want to do that. I want that. I want to be like that. I want to go over there and be like them. I want to go over there and be like this. That's an identity issue. When you don't know who you are, excuse me, and you don't know who you belong to, and you don't understand why you were created, when you don't know those things, you tend to be a conformer instead of being transformed. When you become saved, you are a new creature in Christ, okay? Your old life, yep, we're in these bodies, but the old life, the old way, the old conforming, the old all of that, that's done. You are a new creation in Christ. And all of that old stuff, you no longer conform, but you become transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. So that message was absolutely amazing, not only for our young people who struggle so much with identity and wanting to fit in and wanting to belong and just going with the masses because that's what the masses are doing right now, but for some of us who are older too. You know, sometimes it's just easier to just go along with what everybody else is doing. It's less stress, less worry, less drama. I'm just going to go with where everybody else is going. But guess what? Following everybody else will lead you straight to hell, okay? Following everybody but God will lead you straight to hell. And we know that hell was not created for people. Jesus died on the cross to make sure that we could spend eternity with him. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a front row seat into hell. That's why I get saved multiple times in a week. Even though you only need to get saved one time. Every time there's an opportunity to confess Christ as my Lord and Savior, I take it just in case. But obviously, you only need to confess Christ one time. Amen. And then you need to get in his word in a Bible-based church, in a community of Bible-based believers who can help you to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. That message was awesome. Just when I thought I didn't have anything to say, well, there it is. Wow. Okay. I'm really, 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 really blown away. Minister Shelley always brings it, always brings it. And with the sweetest tone and the sweetest personality, and, like, how could you ever get mad at anything she says, but you want to talk about black coffee? The intensity with which she said what she said is just as sweet as she wants to be. So we are so grateful, and we are so thankful for the word that she brought to us today. And she sang to us, too, y'all. She brought us a song, gave us a word, all of that. Multi-talented, amen. And so we're just so thankful, and we're so grateful to have her, Minister Shelley, bring us a word from the Lord, straight from the Lord, okay, straight from the Bible, you know, and the transparency with which I've said this before, and I say it actually a lot, the transparency with which people come on Blog Talk Radio and preach and bring the word. You know, Pastor Jonathan has told us things about him that he probably, you know, might have thought twice about wanting to share. We know Pastor O is always struggling with, Lord, why I got to tell him this? You know, Pastor Sarah comes on here and she, you know, talks about how the word has been transforming to her in her life, how she still is, but how the word is still working on her. Okay, Pastor Terrence, he gets on here and say, I used to be like this, but now I'm like this. So the transparency that we get from every single person that comes on and brings us a word is truly, truly a blessing. And it's not just for those of us who are hearing the word now, today, live, or even if you're going to listen on the recording later or whatever, but we're talking about well into the tribulation period when we're not here anymore. The word of God is still going to be going out to people. What a blessing. So, again, Minister Shelley, thank you so very much for the word that you brought to us today. I feel like I got a whole sermon behind that. Nevertheless, we thank God for you. God bless you, and we look forward to hearing you again very, very soon. Amen? Amen. So happy Saturday, y'all. Good morning. It's the last Saturday in the month of July. Amen. We'll look up, and it'll be Christmas. We'll be playing Christmas music. The time just moves that fast. But nevertheless, we are still so grateful to God for everything that he has done. So just by way of some announcements for you, Sunday, July 30th, we will have our Sunday school class at 9 a.m. with teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, who we love, okay, so much. We hear her here on Saturdays for church school, excuse me, and then we get her on Sundays in person for Bible class. Awesome, awesome teaching and lessons and discussions. So if you're not getting in on that, please do. And then, of course, we'll be continuing on with our praise team leading us in songs as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. Now, I was diligent, amen, and I looked on our Sunday preaching schedule, and it says Pastor Sarah Tate is going to be bringing the word tomorrow. Amen. So I'm just going to say Pastor Sarah Tate, Tate McClendon, is going to be bringing us the word tomorrow. So come on out. And it doesn't matter who's preaching anyway. If it's not Pastor Sarah, trust me, you're going to get a word from somebody tomorrow. Amen. So come on out. Again, don't forget our Sunday school starts at 9 a.m. Our worship begins at 10 a.m. And we are worshiping in the River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Amen. Amen. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., our new Bible class is in full swing at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. A textbook is required for the class, so if you want to be in attendance, the books are available. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes to purchase the book. Please read the assignments before the class. The questions for discussion are at the end of each chapter. Deacon Charles Tate will be teaching this week the lesson entitled Ears to Hear. Amen. So you might want to tune on into that. Amen. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, talking about our youth. Please join in and comment on the discussion about our children, my children, your children, our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Do not forget to check out, again, our church website, rfcm.org. Make sure to share it with others. Classes, services, every service, every class, every whatever we've had on Blog Talk Radio since 2009 when Pastor was on here all by himself. Amen. They are on there. You can get your whole Christian life all the way together with Blog Talk Radio. Don't even have to talk to anybody. All you got to do is listen to the services. Amen. Resources, okay, and more. All types of stuff available on our church website. So, again, use it for what you need it for, but make sure to share it with others. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Minister Shelley, who brought the beautiful word to us today, make sure to go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on tithes and offerings, and specify that your love offering is for Minister Shelley, and we will see to it that she receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with her. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reads as follows. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully as I am fully known, even as I am fully known, And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen? So we would like to ask your continued prayers for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for Doris Gaither, who was in Applewood Nursing Home, Mother Persia, who was in the hospital, I believe, a couple weeks ago, but thankfully she has been at church the last two Sundays. Amen. Praise God. He answers prayer. So please continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Persia, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Cheryl. It is so good to see all four of them every single Sunday. Amen. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, we continue to lift her up in prayer as she takes her daily radiation. Pastor Terrence Tate, who I know was hospitalized and came home and went back to the hospital again. I'm not sure if he's back home yet, but no matter where he is, we need him to know that he is being prayed for and thought of and lifted up to God. Amen. Pray for Deacon Charles Tate, who was his father, Nico Gaston, Sharon Abraham, Darius Freeman, and his mom, Keela, who will be having surgery coming up in August, Ed Johnson and Deaconess Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his wife, Cheryl, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, all of the caregivers, nurses, doctors, and those that serve in the medical field, all teachers, staff, students, and parents as they prepare, you know, for another school season. Some kids have already started. Some kids will be starting in the next week or so. Our college kids, excuse me, they go back, starting to go back on their campuses within the next week or so. And in another month, all of our kids will be back in school from elementary to college. So please, please keep the teachers, staff, students, administration, security, janitors, everybody, amen, lifted up in prayer. All of the leaders of our communities from the local all the way up to Washington, amen, our president and our vice, please keep those who have the rule over us in prayer. Also, do not forget all those who are mourning, grieving, and bereaved, we keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all. So happy birthday to everybody, okay, all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week, or if you have celebrated at all in the month of July. Amen. So happy birthday to Pastor Sarah, Clifton Davis, Hunter, Malachi, me, Logan, Deandra, Isaiah, Vitrius, Ryan, Gia, Nicole, Seabrooks, and Lisa Thornton. Amen. We all celebrated our birthday. Like the whole church had a birthday this month. Amen. So happy, happy birthday. Much love, hugs, and kisses, and God's blessings all over you. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled The Question of Questions. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys already know how I feel about his devotionals, which is why you get them just about every single Saturday. Amen. Amen. Sometime later, the master of those servants returned. He called them in and asked what they had done with his money. Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. Life is filled with questions. From the time we are little, our minds are filled with questions. Why is this? What does this mean? How does this work? Who is God? Why was I created? And on and on and on. We have lots of questions. But the question of questions for a Christian is not the one we ask God, but the one he asks us. What did you do with what I gave you? Now, you won't find that specifically worded question in the Bible, but you will find it taught in the Bible, especially in the parable of the – in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus told about a wealthy master who, before going on a long journey, entrusted his possessions to his slaves. He gave 5 talents to one slave, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to a third, each according to his own ability. Matthew chapter 25, verse 15. Excuse me, the inference is clear. Do business with this until I return. To understand this parable, we must understand that a talent is not like an ability to sing, dance, or paint. A talent was a unit of money weighing about 75 pounds. It would be equivalent to 20 years of wages, 6,000 denarii. If we were to figure a year's wages at $50,000, just one talent would be equal to $1 million, a sizable sum of money by any standards. So 5, 2, and 1. The 5-talent and 2-talent guys got busy with what the master had entrusted to them. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. It's Matthew chapter 25, verses 16 and 17. Both these slaves sprung into action, using what their master had given them to increase his wealth. The 1-talent guy did not follow suit, however. He did nothing with what he had been given except bury it in the ground. It was a shocking act of insolence, sloth, and short-sightedness. Jesus. When the master returned, the 5-talent and 2-talent guys were excited to see him so they could show him what they had done with the wealth entrusted to them. And the master was well pleased with both of them. Well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Matthew 25, verse 21, as well as 23. The wicked, lazy 1-talent slave surely dreaded his meeting with the master. He had nothing to show him. In fact, he insults the master, calling him a hard man and a thief who reaps where he does not even sow. This slave was dealt with severely as he lost the talent and was cast out into the outer darkness of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. So why the colossal failure? People who don't use what God has entrusted to them have several problems. Number one, they have a faulty view of God. The Lord is not hard and unreasonable. He is compassionate and gracious. He does not demand impossible results. He demands that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and put our talent to use. Number two, they compare their blessings rather than count their blessings. Ooh. They compare their blessings rather than count their blessings. No doubt, the 1-talent guy was upset and resentful that the other men received more than he received. Instead of being grateful for the $1 million to use, he was bitter that it was not more. Number three, they operate by fear and not by faith. The 1-talent guy clearly said, and I was afraid, and that's Matthew chapter 25, verse 25. He was afraid because of his negative view of his master. His fear caused him to be faithless, wicked, and lazy. So what has the Lord entrusted to you? Whether you have been given 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent, let me encourage you to use what God has given to you for his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. If you have been given much by way of gifts, abilities, and resources, much will be required of you. If you have been entrusted with relatively little, use the little to glorify God. Remember, Jesus took the lad's 5 crackers and 2 sardines to feed the multitude. Little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. I just got to say, when Minister Shelley mentioned people still saying, you still selling them sandwiches? You still selling them sandwiches? Jesus took the lad's 5 crackers and 2 sardines to fill the multitude. If you have been entrusted with little, use the little to glorify God. So those little sandwiches that she's handing out, those Bibles that she's handing out, she is doing what she is doing to the glory of God, okay? Do you know what your meeting with the Lord will be like on this coming day of reckoning? You can know today based on this one critical question. Are you giving the Lord your best with what he has given to you? When we give our best to him, he gives his best to us. Maybe today, us need to spend some time in prayer and make necessary course corrections so that you can hear him say to you on that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Those are your announcements. I think you might have got 2 little mini sermons in there, so I'm going to need to offer a plate to pass. Amen.
Five,
okay,
we're going to pass off the plate today.
Amen. I earned my salary today.
You know what, Crystal, thank you so much. That is so awesome and so fitting. You know, as I was sitting here listening to everybody today, the Lord says there is so much packed into these little couple of hours, this little hour and a half that people get enough to go. Amen, for the rest of their life. But
amen.
You know, those little lunches that she makes and passes out, you have, the folks who saying that, they need to come and see what I see. When I first went, when Eric told me, he kept telling me, you need to go, you need to see, you need to go. So I went to see.
Amen.
And I've been there ever since. That is the word. That is my whole month. That makes my whole month worth it.
Amen.
because Amen. That is the work. And see, it. What you're talking about ties right into that because, I'm preaching a little bit, I think.
Preaching.
Anyway,
that's okay.
It ties
we all
right
get
into
our
that.
Today.
I ain't got to preach tomorrow, so I'm preaching, so there you go.
Amen.
Amen.
There we go.
Because if we stop trying to fit into the world and start fitting into what Jesus called us to do, then we would be out there passing out lunches. We would be out there
Amen.
Extending the love of God. If people could
Amen.
Just come and see what's happening out there, they would
Amen.
Be. Amen. For me, that's the work. That's when
Amen.
Jesus comes back, I want to have made full proof of the ministry that he has given me.
Amen.
And last week, the bus driver stopped, and he wanted us to come onto the bus. And the Holy Spirit hit that man, and the bus driver started preaching on the bus, telling
Lord,
people the realities
mercy.
Of heaven and hell. And I'm telling you, Crystal, pictures of it on Minister Shelley's site. It's on Instagram. It's everywhere. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And the people were wanting Bibles. People were wanting prayer. A guy came up believing in Aztecs, walked away with a Bible. That is
Lord,
unbelievable what be happening
Jesus.
Out there talking about yeah. little.
Little sandwiches. That's okay, but the little she got, she's
still making
the glory
sandwiches.
Of God.
I
Hello.
Mean, 70 people got fed. Hmm. People who didn't have a lunch to go to work with got a lunch to go to work with. People who got kids
Amen.
At home that wasn't going to have no lunch, they came
yeah.
and got them and took it home, they got a lunch.
Amen. Oh, that's huge. Amen. Lord have mercy.
Oh,
little sandwiches. I'll make them little sandwiches. Amen. Okay. I'll take them little sandwiches. Because I'm earning treasure in heaven.
Man, treasure in
when
heaven.
I get there, I will be cashing a check. Okay.
You get some ham,
Amen.
Some turkey, some PBJ. Amen.
Amen.
And for that, you get treasure in heaven.
Yeah.
And people know, what I love about it most is people know God loves them. It's real
yeah.
street love. That is not just a saying. It is
yep.
it is Jesus feeding the 5,000. I don't know how
Amen.
Long she's been doing this since till we
mm-hmm.
got involved, but she was doing it before
mm-hmm.
we got involved. So how many thousands
Amen.
Do you think have been benefited by this?
Amen.
You better believe
or
I'm
just
jumping
from the
in on that.
Of
on
someone
me.
Else.
Yes.
And the way, you know, hey, I stopped by and I just was at the bus stop and I got a sandwich and a Bible and they prayed for me and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Next week, come with me or next month, come with me. You have no idea how that spills over.
And it never ceases. Last week, long before 1 o'clock, everything was gone. Bibles, everything. People got Bibles,
wow.
and it's all free. So she, you know,
yeah.
she's planning a fundraiser for next month. I know Running for Christ going to do what we do, right?
Amen.
But,
Amen.
I want to get that word out there so people can get blessed. Even if you don't come
Amen.
Show up and give out a lunch, give some finances so that can happen. And then
Amen.
Whatever
Absolutely.
Happens, God accrues that to you, even though you just gave
mm-hmm.
what you gave.
Amen.
And then you
Amen.
At least you're using the finances. God gave us time, treasure, and talent, right? At least
That's
you're
right.
using
That's
some
right.
of that treasure. If you ain't using no time and no talent, at least use your treasure for those who are doing time and talent and treasure
Amen.
To make
Amen.
This happen. She carries all
Amen.
This stuff in her car. She got a Cadillac. It ain't no, I don't know a whole lot of people who would pile it up like she piles. She piles it up like it's a pickup truck. She is into the glory of God. And
Amen.
Now my wife done got hooked up in it, and you know how kind
oh,
of giver
Jesus.
She is.
Oh, my
Amen.
God.
She had a giveaway
know,
yesterday. She had a giveaway yesterday in front of the house.
Ooh,
she prayed
Lord,
the rain away till about 5 or 3 or 3 o'clock, and she put the table out there. People came, cleaned it off. She went and got more stuff. And
Amen.
Put it on the table. That's, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
now
baby Holy
got,
Ghost. Amen.
That baby Holy Ghost is hooked up in First Fruit Ministries. And
Lord have mercy. We all blessed while I'm here. We
oh,
all
wait a minute, Crystal. We ain't
here.
On the phone.
Huh?
We
oh,
act
no,
like
we're
on the phone.
Amen.
Is,
I'm
well,
sorry.
Yeah, Kathy, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, all them. Yeah, I can't
Darius.
It's not my fault. Yeah,
and Rebecca, you know, it's
yep.
it's all their fault. They got
it's
the service
all,
and then the preacher came through and just
yeah.
really hyped it up. So
yep.
it's all
Absolutely.
Their fault that we are
it's
this
theirs.
Excited. This 100%. Excitement is their fault. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
But we forgive them, like, right, Crystal?
We do forgive
Christian
them. We
like
forgive
that.
That's right. Like Minister Shelley said, glory to God. I love how she said, glory to God.
I'm
I love
telling
it.
You, and this, trust me, it's for real. She ain't just church folk faking.
No.
She's for real.
No.
You know, it's like, you know, you meet a modern Esther. You know, you
yes.
see who God would have picked. You clearly see that. And Lord have mercy. She, amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Here
amen.
We go. See, now you let me go off again. So now
it's
I forgive
your fault.
You.
Amen.
I forgive you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Crystal. Tell me I
You're
say
welcome.
What's up.
I sure will. Be
blessed,
amen.
My sister.
You too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in every week, and we thank God for Pastor Butler, Bishop Butler, allowing one of his help, some of his help, to come and help us over here. It reminds me of when Paul didn't know which way to go, and he saw a man standing over in Macedonia, and the man said, come over here and help us. It pretty much made it plain. And so we thank God for Bishop Butler being generous and allowing his preachers, Minister Richard Overall and Minister Lachelle Anderson, to come over and share with us. And we thank God for her and for her diligence. And don't forget, if you want to listen to any of her sermons that she's preached, we have them on tape. Go to Recorded Sermons on our church website, and you can find them there. You'll find today's sermon there about 5-10 minutes after the service is over. It'll be loaded up there. It'll be on the church website. It'll be on the Blog Talk Radio site. It'll also be on the BTR player on our Bible classes page. Just click that on, and you'll see Blog Talk Radio player. Click that on. She should be right there at the top of the list. Okay, God bless you. God keep you. Teachers, don't forget to see me tomorrow. We're going to get you the books so that we can put everybody on the same page. We're going to give you an adult book like the rest of the folks. Okay, and you got the email. So check your email if you haven't, teachers. Okay, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, I am excited, thoroughly excited. God bless you. God keep you. Again, I want to thank Minister Shelley, amen, for that awesome word of God, for going right into the devil's kingdom and preaching the word, amen, just like Jesus did, in spite of all of his nonsense, amen, spoke it right in his face, just like Paul kept doing over there in Philippi. But anyway, God bless and God keep each and every one of you. Amen. I am really excited. I love it when I don't have to preach or do anything. And I love playing music, so I don't even count that as a thing. But anyway, I just thank God for it. And I love it like the A-Team guy said, when a plan comes together. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
Now the time to get distracted. This is not the time to go off course. This is not the time to lose your focus. Got a word to you for the Lord, and you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you start. Destiny. salvation waiting on the other side of this test. It's everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you that you'd get. Waiting on the other side. Everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.